May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be forever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and in the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Amen. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. So speaks Henry V at Agincourt in Shakespeare's play. We go to liberate and not to conquer, and the enemy should be in no doubt that we are his nemesis and that we are bringing about his rightful destruction. Lieutenant Colonel Tim Collins to 1st Battalion, the Royal Irish, 1R Irish Battle Group, on 19th of March 2003, several days before crossing the Iraq border on Operation Telic. I wonder what you would say to the troops or to the king on the eve of battle. Psalm 20 is just such a message. It's not tub-thumping oratory or emotive rhetoric, but rather it's a heartfelt trust in God. Some of you may know this as a prayer in time of war and tumults. The opening verse describes a time when you are in distress, and the closing verse has when we call. Literally, these are the day of distress and the day of calling. We're not given a specific setting in the title of the psalm. Perhaps the psalmist was thinking of Jacob, who was answered by God in the day of his distress. And maybe it was used by David and later kings to prepare for their defensive campaigns. It has similarities to Psalm 18, which is when the Lord delivers David from the hand of all his enemies and from Saul. The following Psalm 21 is a thanksgiving following a great victory. From the content, it's clearly a prayer for times of need, and so it's very appropriate for us right now. To understand what is going on in the psalm, it's helpful to look at the pronouns. The psalm is addressed to you. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. We have to wait until verse 9 to find out who this is. O Lord, save the king, answer us when we call. The psalm is addressed to the king. In verses 2 to 4, the people pray that God, that he will bless the king. Then in verse 5, we promise to shout and wave banners to celebrate victory. The people assure the king of their loyalty. The king, I, responds in verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Then in verses 7 and 8, we encourage ourselves and the king that trusting in God is better protection than relying on advanced military technology. A final prayer in verse 9 is addressed directly to God, O Lord. So first, notice praying for the king in verses 1 to 5. The first concern is that God answers the king with protection. Then that the king has help and support from the temple and from the city of God. Next, that God remembers and accepts the king's sacrifices and offerings. Finally, that the king is given his heart's desires and that his plans should succeed. David was a man after God's own heart, so his desires are God's desires. And this is praying for God's will to be done. Note that all these things come from God. Relationship with God and security, physical and emotional provision. worship acceptable to God, a will that is shaped by God. This order and scope of needs applies to all of God's people. It's a model for how to pray to God for those in need. It's directed to the king because leaders set the tone and the direction. We're also instructed to pray for those in authority. Our civil and our church leaders need our prayers for wisdom and for godly priorities. In verse 5, the people commit to rejoice when the king is victorious. They will raise their banners in the name of the God they share. All their joy and their boasting is in God. Rarely do we see such togetherness today. When we do, it's likely to be in the name of something other than God. True unity, though, comes in obedience to God's word and God's king. Secondly, salvation from the Lord in verses 6 to 9. The king's response is a firm assurance that God saves. The king knows the Lord saves his anointed. This promise was given to David in 2 Samuel 7. I will be his father and he shall be my son. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The people asked God to answer, and David is confident that God will answer, and he has the power to save. As we hear of God's anointed or his Messiah being saved and answered, we might think of Jesus being heard outside the tomb of Lazarus, or praying to be glorified before the cross. The result is resurrection, the mighty power of God to bring salvation. This is the psalmist's confidence. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus means the final outcome is secure, and we can celebrate now, even in the midst of anxiety and concern. As Christians, we look to Jesus, our heavenly King, whose great sacrifice upon the cross brings us forgiveness and hope, and whose Spirit comes to incline the desires of our heart to God's great plan, which will be fulfilled. In verses 7 and 8, we see a division between two groups. The first trust in chariots and horses, the might and the speed of the ancient battlefield, modern-day tanks and helicopters, or perhaps in recent circumstances, lockdowns, vaccines, and track and trace. These have their place, but if our trust is in them alone, we will be brought to our knees and fall. The other group, though, trust in the name of the Lord our God, which is the personal name of God given to Moses by the God of Jacob, and conveys the sense of all God's being and purposes. What words should we listen to in a time of need, on the eve of a great crisis? Speaking of Jesus, Peter tells the people in Jerusalem that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If our trust is there, then we will rise up and stand firm. So let me encourage you to put your trust in Jesus. Jesus' name means God saves, and you will find this promise true. You will rise up and stand firm. Then when in times of need we cry, save and answer, it will become a prayer of rejoicing and confidence in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we pray this psalm for ourselves, we ask for Jesus' plans, purposes, and salvation in our lives, in our leaders, and in our community. We seek God's protection, God's provision, God's worship, and God's will in salvation. Let's pray. O Lord, may we turn to the King of Kings in times of need and find our joy and confidence in him. We pray for those who are finding that difficult just now. We ask that you would turn those whose trust is elsewhere to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.